Welcome back to the Adventures of a Disney Dad podcast. My name is Matt. I am a dad of three and the founder of adventuresofadisneydad.com, traveling with the magic for less travel, and your host, joined as always by my co-host, Chip, the dad of five. And this week we are going to be diving into the magic of Run Disney with special guest Jocelyn. She is Mom Runs Diz on Instagram. She's an avid Run Disney runner. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the absolutely beautiful metal wall behind her. That it just, I mean, it's just covered in medals. Jocelyn, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
No, we're really excited about this. I've done the Run Disney marathon a couple times, and we love going down in January for marathon weekend. And we get a lot of Run Disney folks that listen to the show, and they've always got questions. And so what better to do than to bring in an actual expert, and it's run all the weekends, done all the things.
And listen, she had me go work out this evening. I was contemplating not getting on my bike, and I saw her getting a workout in right before the show. I'm like, all right, I got to get one in too.
Yes, I'm training for a springtime surprise as we speak. So that's in a couple of weeks. Getting those
Wonderful.
last training miles, riding miles. So I'll be ready to run.
And we're gonna get into it. I think the big, anxiety factor for any Run Disney person is coming up here on April 9th, which is the registration for Run Disney Marathon Weekend. And I'm gonna start right off the bat with a tough question. Jocelyn, what are your tips for people that are registering for a Run Disney race, which is insane?
Over the years, it's like this process gets more and more intense because you get more and more people interested in the races. I tell everybody, be patient. I mean, that's hard to say. The queue opens at 10, sometimes a little bit early, like 9, 9:50, and that anxiety sets in because it's like it's not immediate. Had earlier this week was about how long do you wait? We just had registration for Wine and Dine. I waited about an hour to register. So, if you want to do the multiple devices, some people do different browsers. I definitely say have a good internet speed. That is the key thing. Where I work, the internet's not the greatest. So I will actually leave work. Don't tell my boss that. And I will come back, after I've registered, and I just make up that time. But yeah, have patience, have a good internet speed. Also, having a Run Disney account already set up. Also, I'm going to give a tip that a lot of people are going to kill me for. Register, and if you can, pay for your races with a Disney gift card. That speeds up the process. You don't have to put in all that information, like your, address, because it doesn't require all that information.
Interesting. That's a good
That's
one. So less fields to fill out.
a little gem. It definitely, because that's where a lot of people say, I got right there at the checkout and it was sold out. Those seconds count because you have loads and loads of people trying to register.
Yeah, absolutely. And
That's a
you
great
hit on
tip.
a lot of the great tips. And the biggest thing too is you have to be in the queue, like the waiting room for the queue, before it opens at 10 o'clock. Right. So 15 or 20 minutes before they put you in a waiting room, and then at 10 o'clock, then they randomize everybody.
They
And if you're
randomize.
not in there in that waiting room before they randomize everybody, then you're going to be last and you're not going to get in.
And I have people ask all the time, so I want to register for this race and I want to prioritize what is the most important. Register for that race first and then go back. Because I have people say, well, my whole family wants to run the 5K and I want to run the half. Okay, register for that 5K if that's a priority for you and your family, because then you may get in the half and then everybody else gets in the 5K or whatever. And then, think about what's most important when it comes to registering for multiple races.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. And the last thing is the multiple browser trick does work, because the way it works is every browser gets a unique queue ID. So basically a slot in line. The more browsers you have open, the more slots in line you have in the lottery for the randomizer. And the one tip that I love to tell people that a lot of people don't know about is you don't have to have different devices to have different browsers. So you can open multiple windows in Safari in incognito mode, and that works. You can download like Firefox, Safari, Chrome, Brave. Like I had
all of them on one computer. Yeah.
Yeah, I had like 50 of them open. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is watch for the first one that gets in, and then you register on that one.
Yeah.
And your goal, you don't have to have one.
As you know, just toggling back and like, okay, this one's 17 minutes. Okay, this one's still in an hour because I have been in a cube on one device and then on another, it doesn't move at all. So, you know, it's really, I tell people, there's really no trick to it because again, it varies. Again, the demand is more now as people are getting more into running, especially if they have a love of Disney, they want to start small. So it's like, let me try this, which increases a number of people wanting to run races.
Absolutely. And we got to love that ding now. They've got a little audio sound. So make sure you have your computer noise up because it'll tell you at least one of your windows hit the lottery.
Yeah.
Jump in there and get it done as quick as you can. So those are tips. And I've got an article on adventureswithdisneydad.com all about registration tips. And Jocelyn's given us a few that I'm going to have to add now, especially the gift card one, because that's fantastic. The other big thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is the charitable aspect. And Jocelyn, you run for charity. I've also run for charity for the marathon. And it's a little daunting for people, I think, because of if you do the marathon or the Dopey Challenge, the amount of money you've got to raise is in thousands of dollars, typically.
Correct.
But I think it's important that people remember that if you don't get in on registration day, there's still options to get bibs, right?
There are lots of great charities. Don't want to necessarily name drop, but I tell people, choose a charity that means something. It makes it easier to fundraise for. I know people have the demand of wanting to get into the race, but it makes it easier to ask and to get people to donate if there's something that they feel like it's close to home. Rather than just, I'm getting in a race.
And you can name drop because we support them all for sure.
Oh, starting Dragon Masters, that's one that I've actually ran with Dragon Masters Association or Initiative because they changed their name now for 6 Princess 10Ks. I started, you know, before COVID, met the founders. Kelsey's Hope is another one. I met some of those people. Great cause, great charity. Kids Give the World, you name it. There are several charities and you're getting a lot of new, smaller charities that some of them that I'm just learning about myself. Like, you know, last week I saw a name and I'm like, whoa, that's new. Let me look at that. So definitely get on Facebook because I think that's where they put most of the information out in the different run groups. Because you see people asking all the time, hey, I didn't get in the race, any charities? And then you get, like I said, you get the name drops.
And I'll tell you too, we actually track them and the charities provide the information to us on adventureswithdisneydad.com. So I've got a website or an article for Wine and Dine and Marathon Weekend tracking who has bibs, what the fundraising levels are. And we've got an open line of communication with a lot of the charities about that. And a lot of the marathon bibs are already going available, which is something a lot of people don't realize that.
Also, Princess Weekend. My son is going to run his first, adult race because he's did the kids races, but he's going to run his first 5K. I already have secured. He said, Mom, I want to run for a charity. So we already have our Princess 5K bib secured. Well, if you're going to run, if you're looking to run for a charity, definitely do that now. With a lot of people not getting into the New York City Marathon, they have set their hopes on Dopey now. So
both of us, Jocelyn, we both did not get into that.
Right.
I remember seeing you do it, and I got the same message.
So a lot of people are like, I want Dopey now. So if you can go ahead and secure those bibs, a few tips. I tell people, go ahead and donate what you would pay for the actual bib. That's a good way of getting your head start on your charity fundraising because you're going to pay that to enter the race. So go ahead and donate that. Sometimes you'll be, especially with the fundraising costs and the price of Dopey, that'll get you halfway there.
Yeah. That's going to be my question. What's the number? what's the number you got to reach for?
It varies. Jeremy. Again, that's something that's increasing, I've noticed, as the demand. So I don't want to quote because every charity.
Give me one second because I have it written down for a lot of them. So, for just an example, Sophie and Madigan's Playground has bibs available now, and the marathon is $800, which is lower than I think a lot of the others, but their Dopey Challenge is $1,300. So, as Jocelyn pointed out, and Kelsey's Hope, Dopey Challenge is $1,200 that you have to raise. The halfway there is the Dopey registration fee because that's almost $700. So, you put your registration fee in, you're halfway there. Yeah. And you're you know, working for a charitable cause. Right. Some of the charities usually will have like room discounts. Mm-hmm. If you raise a certain amount of money, you'll get a t-shirt. It's funny you mentioned Dragon Master. So I ran my first one for charity in 2015, which was Noah's Light, which then became Dragon Master, which is crazy because that makes me feel incredibly old.
Yeah.
The charity I ran for doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah. And it's been through two name changes because now it's Dragon Masters Initiative. So I keep seeing it.
And you see a lot of great charities. Ronald McDonald House, various chapters will have bibs. And then there's a lot of smaller
ones. The Run has one. You know, like I said, you name it. There are a lot of people, a lot of charities now versus when I first started, which is a good thing because, again, being able to help cause and run, hey, I like it. I'm here for it.
And bibs pop up, too, like months from now. Like you'll have people that are dropping out or don't meet their fundraising goals. So you can usually sign up for the charity's email list. Yeah. And they'll let you know if a bib pops up or sometimes they'll have wait lists, things like that. So don't ever give up hope. But also, if you're training for these things, you probably should start somewhat soon, unless you're like Jocelyn, who is working out all the time. So she's always training for a race. So let's get into the basics really quickly. We talked all about registration and charitable running. But what are the four main race weekends and how, Jocelyn, do you rank them as someone who's run them all?
Well, they're four major. And of course, this year we got the Disneyland races. So
are you doing those?
I am. I already did Disneyland. I did I did Goofy to Dumbo. And I am registered for the Disneyland Halloween half. So there's starting in January, the Walt Disney World Marathon. Then in February, there's the Princess Half Marathon. In April, there is the Springtime Surprise, which used to be Star Wars weekend, which was my favorite. But it no longer exists. And ending off the race season with Wine and Dine. And that's here on the East Coast. Of course, they just bought back this year Disneyland weekend, which was right after Marathon weekend this year. And then a brand new weekend, the Disneyland Halloween weekend, which is in September. So
it's early September, right?
It's early September, like the second week, like the 6th, 7th, somewhere up in there.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, ranking.
So putting you on the hot seat. How do you rank them?
Rank them now that Star Wars is no longer here. I would have to say it's Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. Even though I've did Dopey twice, it's kind of hard to get off that many days for me because I work in healthcare. But it is still my favorite weekend. I like to start my year off with a bang. Most of the time, I always run the marathon. I've run the marathon the last, that's a great way for me to start my year. So I like Walt Disney World Marathon weekend.
Very, very cool. So how would you, I'm going to keep you on the hot seat. How would you rank the other three?
Then Wine and Dine is starting to grow on me. It's a little cooler. You have that combined with the Food and Wine Festival. Princess Weekend is your Diva Weekend. So I will rank that number three. And I'm still getting used to Springtime Surprise. It's a new one. I'm interested in to see more on what they're going to bring back. Like last year, they brought the Tower Terror 10 Miler. A lot of us pre-COVID won a Star Wars weekend. So hopefully we'll eventually get one of those again. But I rank it number four.
That's fair. And just for clarity, Springtime Surprise is 5K, 10K, and then a random. Is it always a 10 miler or is it sometimes a half?
Well, they have did the 10 mile. This is the second year.
That's only second year, right?
Yeah, so they did a 10, I guess they're going to maybe possibly stick with a 10 mile distance. I don't know.
And then there's a yoga too, correct?
There's the yoga. I've never participated in the yoga, which is interesting. This year they moved yoga to Monday. Normally it's on like Thursday or Friday mornings, but it's on Monday this year. So
that's interesting.
Kind of different.
And just for anybody that's not familiar, there's usually at a race weekend, there's a 5K, a 10K, some sort of medium, longer distance between either a half marathon or 10K or 10 miler or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then marathon weekend has the marathon, but then you also have challenges, right?
Correct.
So tell the folks that are not used to it, and let's use marathon weekend as an example. What are the challenges?
So marathon weekend, you have several challenges. The ultimate being Dopey, where you complete all four races. That is what most people look forward to. You also have the Goofy Challenge, which I would hate to say, I've got to say, it's kind of my favorite. It's the half marathon and the full marathon. With Dopey, you get a total of 6 medals. Goofy, you get 3. Most of the week, all weekends have a challenge, which normally consists of like the 10K and the half marathon. Springtime Surprise is the exception. You have to do all 3 to get the challenge. So that's where it differs. So
interesting. Yeah. I got to tell you, I've never understood Goofy in marathon weekend. And it's only because, like, if I'm doing the half and the full, the 5K and the 10K are like, they're like nothing.
It's a warm up.
Yeah. It's like you might as well just do the dang thing and do the full Dopey at that point. I get, like, part of it is, you know, getting demand and getting registered, and it's harder and things like that. Yeah. But goodness gracious.
Now, what's your favorite course?
Oh, my favorite course. Of course, the marathon. The marathon, for those out there who don't know, it is the only race that you do all 4 parks. Depending on your time, I have ridden Everest. Last year, I think it was a mistake, but the teacups were open. I made it through in time to jump on those. Some people ride the Tower of Terror. So it is, like I said, the only race that you run through all 4 parks. So I think that's why I like it. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And having, so you obviously don't have to deal with the balloon ladies. Yes. But I think that's probably the biggest fear that new folks to run Disney have, is they hear about these balloon ladies. Chip's pointing at himself. The balloon ladies. Tell folks what the balloon ladies are and why they shouldn't be afraid of it.
Oh no, they are 2 very nice young ladies. Sometimes there's a guy, it just depends. But the balloon ladies are not your end all, but that's your major warning. Disney, like every other race, has time limits and restrictions. Of course, they have to have the parks open. And it's to maintain a 16-minute mile. Those ladies are the very last ones to start, and they are the ones that maintain that 16-minute pace from beginning to end. If they tend to pass you, there's another warning. I think there are a couple of bikes, and then that is when you're pulled from the course. They're generally a little more lax on the 5K, but I will tell you, they've become a little stricter. So I tell people, even though the 5K is not timed, they're still trying to wrap it up because, again, the parks are opening, people are coming in. I just tell people, you know, train with maintaining a 16-minute mile pace, and you know, regardless of, and just do your best.
And that also makes corral placement, like, more important. And, you know, not to get too technical for anybody that's a beginner, but the corrals are kind of these huge areas where you're literally corralled into construction barriers of where you're going to start the race. And you're talking about thousands of people all being in these same spots around the Epcot parking lot at the same time, standing there for, you know, half hour to an hour before the race starts.
Or longer. And it just depends on
you. Yeah. And the big thing that bothered me about it was it's like a mile walk to the start line from the corrals. But the big thing is, the earlier you start, the more leeway you have on the balloon ladies, because they're starting at the very end with the last group. So if you can get an earlier corral by having, like, if you do a half marathon locally or some sort of race like that, and you submit a place proof of time, you got a better chance of getting an earlier corral.
Yeah. And also I tell those people who, if you know you're a slower walker as well, getting to the front of that corral, because that also gives you, because again, those balloon ladies are the very last ones to start. So if you're at the, even if you're at the front of the last corral, that gives you a little bit of a buffer. I can't say how much, but it gives you some.
Do they get a medal? And
yes. Yes, they do. You know, they're doing the race as well. And it's rumored that they still have to pay for their races. Now, I don't know how, you know, but they still pay. That's what the rumor mill says. That's what they've been saying for 10 years. But
well, they say they don't pay volunteers anymore either.
No, they don't.
But I've heard that the Pacers don't have to pay. So I'm hopeful that the Balloon Ladies wouldn't have to either. So there's Pacers. This is another quick tip. In every corral, there's Pacers, whether sometimes they're volunteers from different run groups or crews. Like Jocelyn could be a Pacer if she wanted to with her, like if she had a Facebook group or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they'll run a certain pace, and that way you can stick together and have other camaraderie and kind of people keeping you accountable and all working towards the same goal. And usually you'll have, like at the marathon, you'll have a 4 hour, 4.5 hour, 5 hour, 5:15, all that stuff. And you can usually find Facebook groups, or there's people kind of providing that information at the expo. You don't get that as much below like the half marathon.
Right. I don't think they're at, you might have one or two at the 10K, but right, it's primarily the half and the full. And they're actually part of the Jeff Galloway pacing group. So for those people who are asking, how can I be a pacer? Get on that group. And then, you know, it tends to be the same people that pace, but who knows, one day they may say, hey, I want to pace. So that's the group that you need to join if you want to be a pacer for Run DC.
And for people that don't know, Jeff Galloway is famous for the run walk method. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind too, that it's not going to be a group that they won't run the whole time. And that can also be a good way to bridge yourself into a marathon for the first time, because there's different ways that he does the run walk method. And it's pretty like well established as like a Disney thing, but people do it in other races. I've seen it at the Chicago Marathon.
I tell people I do a kind of a modified Jeff Galloway all year round for any race. You know, I do my two runs, because again, his plans are on the Run Disney website. I do 2 30-minute runs a day in the week, and then a long run. And right, I'm an interval runner. So I've been doing Jeff Galloway since my second marathon in 2015.
That's awesome. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. And it works wonders for people, because it takes a lot of the effort off your legs and helps you last longer and things like that. But generally speaking, if you were to pitch somebody who's maybe a runner that's never done Run Disney, why is Run Disney special or different than other races?
It's magical. Everybody knows it's Disney. So one thing, you will have that crowd support. I've ran a lot of races at Disney and outside of. At any point, you're surrounded by at least hundreds of people. And that is something, not saying you won't get it every race, but you'll get that at every Run Disney race. You know, plus where do you get characters, costumes, you know, I mean, and if you're like me, you love Disney, what better place to run than to where you love? So, yeah.
That's true. That's true. Chip, if you were going to wear a costume to a Run Disney race, Chip, what would you wear?
The one that doesn't make me look so sweaty.
Do you wear costumes?
I do. And I'm still sweaty. And I still think I look good. So everybody's sweaty in costumes.
I would do it with my kids. Like if we did a 5K or 10K with my kids, I would definitely dress up with that. Other than that, like I'd probably just wear like a t-shirt, like whatever, whoever I'm supporting, or I don't know if I'm wearing Maslin. I don't know, something like that. I don't know. Maybe Adventure of a Disney Dad podcast t-shirt. Who knows?
So Jocelyn, one of the listener questions we got today asked, what is the best costume you've ever seen at Run Disney?
Oh man. So I can't say best costume, but I can tell you the best costume weekend by far was Star Wars. When I tell you some of the costumes, you know, the Jedi's, droids, I mean, just, you know, Star Wars in itself has a vast cast of characters, and that has to have been my favorite. I remember one lady had this huge, I promise you, it had to weigh a ton, Darth Vader hat slash helmet, and they had to hold it while they were running. But yeah, it was massive. So I was like, and they ran a half marathon like that. So
I think that's what makes it special, is like the style and the design of the costume, even more than like who it is.
Yeah.
Like it's the effort that goes into it, the props or whatever. Like I've seen people, gosh, I saw one guy doing Lumineer, you know, with the carrying the candlesticks. Yeah. It's like 26.2 miles. I'm not carrying candlesticks. It's not happening.
I had some friends they were on monorails one year. So had cardboard boxes and I'm like, you're going to run, you know, 6 miles in it. And they're like, yeah. You know, so
what's your favorite costume that you've done?
Oh man, my favorite. So this past Princess Weekend, I'm kind of a minimalist, but I still try to bound. I was Mama Odie for the half marathon, and that had to be like, it was super easy, but picture wise, I thought it was my best costume yet. So and people loved it. People loved it. Yeah,
that's awesome. Do you think your son will dress up for his first podcast?
He is already trying to decide what we're gonna do. I guess he keeps changing his mind. Oh, he's definitely again. He's did the when they had well for those who don't know, Run Disney used to have kids races. It was like the 50-yard. It was like a diaper dash, 100 meter, 200 meter, and 1 mile. I think is the races. Yeah. So he used to do those and dress up. He's been a Wookiee. He's been BB-8. So he has his own little metal wall as well. So yeah, he's looking forward to dressing up in the big people races, he said. So yeah.
I love it. So obviously your son's been involved in some of your races. Predominantly, do you go solo or do you go with the family? Do you guys make a vacation of it? What's your race weekend like?
So we did both, but as of late, he's becoming more involved in sports. So for me, it's turning into girls' weekends. So
nice. Okay.
Me and girlfriends that we've met through Run Disney, we leave the kids and the husbands at home, and we make a weekend of it. So especially Princess. Princess weekend is definitely the girls' weekend for most ladies. We book dinners. We enjoy the parks. We run the races. And, you know, we have fun. So,
that's
yeah.
awesome.
Nice.
That's
awesome. How do you deal with like getting up early? Because I know what I've always seen is it's like getting up at like 2:30 or 3 o'clock or something like that.
So I try to tell everybody, especially, well, we'll take it back to Walt Disney World Marathon weekend because that's the next weekend coming up. You have 4 days of getting up at 2:30 in the morning or before. So I definitely tell people to pace yourself to go to bed early because it's not the running part for me. It's the waking up, the fatigue, because again, you're meeting up with friends, you're hanging out and you're looking at the clock and you're like, uh-oh, it's 8 o'clock and we have to get up. So just trying to get in those early bedtimes and enjoying each other, like right after the race. But once it starts to hit that 7-8 o'clock time, you definitely want to, I'm sorry, head to bed, head to your resort and get some rest.
That's the big tip for people that are not running but are going down for race weekends. The parks are pretty empty at night, especially marathon weekend, because all the people doing Dopey and the marathon, they're not staying out until, you know, park close and fireworks and all that stuff, because they're all exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jocelyn, but I think that like the only real traffic problem is usually marathon weekend. Is that fair?
That it would be fair to say because you have people the whole week, right? Basically, because most people, if they're coming down for Adobe, they're down from like Wednesday to Tuesday or from Tuesday to Tuesday. So it's the whole week versus on a normal race weekend, you got people coming in Wednesday, Thursday. Or if you like me, if I'm only running a half marathon, I'm coming in on Friday, even if I'm running a challenge. So you have people coming in for a shorter time. And so then, of course, people staying. A lot of people talking about family vacations, they'll choose Dopey, too, to make it a family vacation because you're there a week. So even if you're running, your family still gets to enjoy the park. So you just get to.
Yeah. And the big thing, too, like for the not for marathon weekend, but for the other weekends, the races are usually done before the parks would open. Correct. So there's very little impact on everybody else's vacation.
Right.
So you shouldn't, you know, think, oh my gosh, it's wine and dine half marathon weekend. I need to avoid it. Like it's not that big of a deal for the non-runners to go that weekend.
But I will say, you guys know Springtime Surprise is running neck and neck with Dapper Day. So I would say it would be Epcot is going to be a little busier because I myself, I'm running and I'm planning on doing Dapper Day too. So I'm not going to be too tired to dress up and, you know, be all dapper at the park on Saturday and Sunday after I do my runs.
There you go. You're Jocelyn, you're a different breed. You're like, you're going to be ready to go. Everybody else is going to be tired and you're going to be ready to get dressed up and go have fun, which is great. And Dapper Day, for those that don't know, it can kind of take people through what that is in Disney terms.
Dapper Day is what it sounds as. People get dressed up and I would say kind of like a Sunday best day bound. If you like last year, me and my son, cause he loves y'all. If you follow me and look at my stuff, he loves Dapper Day just as much as I am. Normally he picks the characters and I come up with the costumes, but we bound as Nemo and Dory last year. So I had on awesome. My dress, he had on his hat, but people just socialize, take pictures. Epcot is a great time to do Dapper Day because it's also Flower and Garden Festival. So walk around, enjoy food, enjoy the festival, admire all the beautiful dressed people and just have fun.
Absolutely. So we've got a ton of listener questions.
Okay.
And we're going to try rapid fire them as much as possible so that we can get through as many as we can.
Okay.
What is the best race for a first timer to do for Run Disney?
So for any first timer, especially if you're not a runner, I suggest any of the 5Ks. You will get a vast collection of amazing characters. Generally, you see characters at Run Disney events that you don't see in the parks.
That's a great, well, there's two things I want to ask you about that. I want to ask you about the characters in a second. Would you agree that if you had to pick one of the 5Ks that you would recommend Marathon Weekend?
Yes, I would recommend. Marathon Weekend is where, to me, you see the best characters because you can see anybody. I mean, that's it. It's Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend versus the others are a little more specific to the themings. So,
yeah. Well, the other big thing is you get a taste of the other races, and there is really nothing like the marathon.
Yes.
When it comes to Walt Disney World, there's no other race like it, and it is really special. So if you just do a 5K and you're like, I may want to do a marathon at some point in the future, you can go and spectate and go be on Main Street cheering people on or whatever and get a taste of what it's like. You can hand out beers on the boardwalk to people that are finishing. Which that's another one I've never understood is people that drink the margaritas or the beers. Are you one of them?
I've the last 2 years I've double fisted. I've crossed with two. I've crossed with two.
Love it. I would be stone cold stunning out there, Matt. I'd be clinging up.
And I can't do it. Usually by that point, I'm like, why did I do this every single time?
That's when you stroll and enjoy it. You soak in that moment. For those listening, normally, you enter Epcot around mile 23. So at that point, you're like 5K to go. Let me stop and get a beer and enjoy this moment.
And I'm sitting there questioning all my life choices at that point. The one thing that you mentioned that's really unique to Disney races and you don't get at Chicago or New York or Boston. Boston's its own deal, but LA Marathon, you don't get it at these places as characters. So help people understand, like, you know, it's not every mile marker, but throughout the courses of all the races, there are characters out there standing.
Yeah.
And there are people that actually go up and take pictures with the characters. And there you can see long lines for the characters, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you stop for characters? And yes. I guess, yes, what are your thoughts on that?
So for Walt Disney World Marathon, the characters average like every mile and a half. So they're actually quite a bit. Do I stop? Yes. A little tidbit for those running the marathon. Once you hit about mile 17, people are done. Most of the characters you can walk up to, snap your picture, and keep going. I'm a middle of the pack runner. So again, all those fast people are done. A lot of people with me are just wanting to be done. So yeah, that's when I stop. And if the line's not too long, and it goes back to pacing and timing, don't stop for characters if you're not able to maintain. You know, don't get swept trying to get a character picture. But yeah, that's why I do Disney, for the characters.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And there are a lot of people that do get swept because they stopped for characters. Like, you don't realize how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
And they get swept.
I've seen the videos. Have you run past and then run all the way back to the end of the line?
Like, yes. Yes, I have.
Who's probably your favorite character that you've seen at a Run to Zeros?
Oh, man. Yeah, these are hard because I've saw some really good ones. Darkwing Duck, you know, some of the old school. Now you see him more, but I remember the first time I saw Max from Goof Troop, like maybe 5 years ago. I was like, oh my God, that's Max. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Max. Powerline Max.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what's the best way to enjoy the parks after race day?
Best way, get you a nap and take it easy. Do not try to go like a regular park day. Schedule you a nice dinner, but take it easy. Get off of your feet, especially if you're a new runner. This is your first time doing multiple races. Spend a couple of hours and then leave. So just, you know, short amount of time.
But you can still now, kind of going with that, like, what's your, obviously you're going to wake up, you're going to eat something to get your metabolism going, get that, get the sugar going. What's kind of your eating throughout that? And I'm not thinking marathon, I'm thinking like half marathon or 10K. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your eating schedule like throughout that day?
Well, in general, what most people, because again, don't do what I do. I've been doing this for a while, but like you said, 2 a.m., most people grab something. If you're staying on property, and this is one of the benefits of staying on property, they do offer a runner's box. It might have a bagel, you know, some juice, water. So a lot of people take that. There are also food trucks at the race start. So if you want to grab a little something there prior to starting, most of the time, the 10K is over by 9, I'm thinking. Grab a quick breakfast. I don't nap. I go straight to the parks. I'll do a normal lunch. Like, I like Animal Kingdom. I'll go into Yak and Yeti. Get me some rice, carb up a little bit. I have a dinner about 6 or 7, and then I'm off to bed.
I think a lot of people make the mistake of not understanding the timing of those Run Disney races. And it's like, you have to get up around 2:30 to get on the bus by 3 in the morning.
Right.
Because if you wait until like 3:30, there's a chance that you may not make it to the race start and get in your corral.
Right.
But at the same time, if you get up at 2:30 and you're on one of the early buses, you are literally like laying out in a parking lot or sitting in bleachers for 2 hours.
Yes.
It's a long time and it's cold. It is not warm. It is cold. It is dark. And so like what I've always done for the marathon is like, I'll get there. I'm usually there by like 3:15 and I sleep on the floor, on the parking lot ground. Like, I just bring like I bring my sweatshirt because you'll want to bring clothes that you can throw off.
Yeah,
that's another thing that like some runners that haven't done this before don't understand. You'll get like thrift store sweatpants or, you know, Walmart or Costco sweatpants and a hoodie so that like you can wear it until you start the race. But as soon as you start the race, you strip that stuff off and you just throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
And it gets donated to like the local Goodwill and Salvation Army and stuff like that. They use all those clothes for charity. But it's a lot of time that you're spending just hanging out.
Yeah. And some people, unlike most races, you can't just walk up at 5 o'clock and start. I've heard and saw a lot of people not familiar with Disney, but are runners. And you see them trying to hightail it because they're in corral A or B thinking that, hey, because they do close the corrals at a certain time. It varies each race and especially for weather or whatever. So that's something you'd have to look at the Run Disney website for and stay up to date on that. But the opening and closing of the corral times, because you will also miss your race.
So. Yeah. And that's just not something worth messing with. You know, like you need to get there early, but you need to understand that you're going to be hanging out for a long time with hundreds, if not thousands of other crazy folks like Jocelyn.
But unlike most races, you do have characters and an amazing DJ. So,
and they have it before.
If you want to take some of those pre-race characters. And normally they're the characters themed for that weekend. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those are definitely fun. So you mentioned a little bit about weather challenges a little bit there. I know that in the past, races have been shortened and people are always worried. I think that just happened with Dopey last year, here in 2024. What do you tell people who say that they're concerned about the weather?
So I tell people, I'm originally a Florida native. I've been running Run Disney for 10 years. Pack for everything. Pack for rain, pack for cold, pack for heat, because you could wake up
one morning. It snowed. And marathon weekend, it is snow.
Yeah. Or in like 2016, when it was freezing, it was like 30 degrees the whole race. I'm not a person that normally 3 miles in comes out of my shirt. Nope. Kept it on the whole race. Or 2018, it was like, was it 18? One of the years they cut the course. It was that hot. Mm-hmm. So packing for every temperature, you know, and that's just something as simple as layering or taking off. So be prepared for everything.
I remember this year when they cut the half marathon, there were people that ran outside at the resorts because they wanted to get their race in or their dopey, because you still get the medal, you still get the shirt, but they want to feel like they actually accomplished it. So they went out into the resort in the pouring. It was absolutely downpouring, right?
I didn't. I was done.
Yeah, no, you've got enough medals, girl. You don't need to mess with that.
But, you know, kudos. Some people did. I might have jumped on a treadmill, but I didn't, but no. Yeah.
I walked Starbucks in that rain, and I saw all these girls out there running. I'm like, they're crazy, but then they're seeing me walk into Starbucks at Disney Springs in the rain. So, who am I to say?
So what are some of the benefits of staying at a Disney resort during the race weekend? You talked about the lunch or the breakfast, but what other benefits?
Or also, you know, transportation to and from, especially after running 26 miles, you don't want to walk to your car and drive back to your hotel. Also, as of late, the resorts are starting to kind of participate in the Run Disney weekend as well. So Princess Weekend, I stayed at All Star Sports and they gave out little bracelets. So they gave out Disney bracelets, magnets on their doors, congratulating us on running the race. So, you know, just a little feel good, extra magic that you get for staying on property versus staying off.
That's awesome. Where do you like to stay at? Awesome.
I like staying All Stars. My kid loves, a lot of times I have All Stars. So, you know, anywhere in there is good for me. I've stayed, you know, we've stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I've stayed, you know, it's Disney. It's your preference. All of them are great for a run weekend. I don't have one preference over another.
I feel like some people, if you can stay like towards the Epcot resorts, mm-hmm. it's like helpful, but it's not that big of a deal. Because you get bus transportation from the end of the race to every resort. It's not going to make that much of a difference. Yep. But the one thing I will mention is don't drive to a Run Disney weekend. Like in terms of staying off site, don't do it. Like it because they close so many of the roads, and your GPS is going to tell you where to go, and you can't go that way, and it's going to end up being a nightmare. Like you, it's so much of a benefit to get that free Disney transportation to and from the race, because otherwise,
especially if you're new to Run Disney, or if you don't know the Orlando area like that, you know
that stress is too much.
So many different routes to get on property, but if you're not familiar with that as a person coming in, staying off property, you can end up missing your race because, again, road blockages, they start those normally around 3 o'clock as well, and you'll be detoured trying to get to Epcot where most of the races start.
I mean, I've heard of people getting dumped off by Ubers, you know, 2 miles away from the race, you know, the race area. And having to walk and stuff. I mean, it's not an enjoyable, and you're just going to be stressed out. So especially if you're doing it for the first time, you've got to stay at a Disney resort for sure. When it comes to planning and booking your trip, obviously you register for these things so far in advance, which we've talked with Matt Richardson about in the past. It's almost crazy that you're trying to plan 9 months in advance. If you're a Disney person, I feel like that's somewhat normal, right? People are already booking trips in 2025. But with Run Disney, like you kind of have to. I mean, you could book 25 marathon packages a couple weeks ago. Well, how early are you booking your room? Are you waiting until you're registered, or when do you do it, Jocelyn?
I actually do it when race registration dates are released, if it's available. And then I'm booking as soon as. So yeah, like, I booked Princess a couple of weeks ago. So I have Princess 2025 already booked.
There you go. And it's just a $200 deposit. Yeah. It's refundable. All that stuff.
And I just booked Marathon because I was finally on the fence on what I'm going to run for Marathon weekend. So I booked that last week. So I do tell people, book it It's better, especially if you're trying to stay on property. Book it that way you already have it locked in versus, especially, again, it can be pricey. Getting a roommate to help cut the cost, but if you want to stay at some of those value, like I said, that, hey, we try to make our money go longer here. So I'm getting on those ASAP because, you know, I want to have money for other things, for all that merchandise and all the drinks and all the stuff I want to have.
Yeah, I get that.
Speaking of the merchandise, really quickly, like it's become kind of a Disney thing that the expo is insane. It's a virtual queue now, and like half the time, I made the mistake. Chip, I think I've told you this story before. When I ran the marathon in 2023, it was the throwback theme, right?
Yeah.
And I loved that theme. It was a 90s theme. I mean, it was just all the merch was just fire, right? And they had a Spirit jersey hoodie that was white. And it was just like the best Disney merch I'd ever seen. And we were not coming down until the second day of the expo. Because I was only doing the marathon. I wasn't doing dopey. By the time I was landing, it was already sold out at the expo. Because all the people, like there's people that get there and go to the expo that aren't even running that buy the stuff to sell it on eBay. I spent like $200.
It sucks to me, but yeah.
Trust me, that's what I'm saying. I it sucks because I spent like $200 on that sweatshirt, on that Spirit jersey hoodie, because I wanted it. And there was no way I was not going to buy it. I bought it on eBay. Yeah. I'm one of the people like encouraging these folks. But what's your tips for the expo? And like, are you a merch person? Do you like to go to the expo? What are your thoughts there?
So I love the expo. I do have my key things that I like to buy. If there's a coffee mug, I'm grabbing it. I'll grab some pins. I always like to get the magnets as well for the race I'm running. I love the core merchandise this year. So I ended up getting a shirt, a bag, just about all the core merchandise because I really like. So just like the races, there's a queue. It opens, you know, the times vary. Like, I think for springtime, it's opening up at like 8:30. So be on your phone trying to get that. And I'll tell people, if it's something you want, get it. Because then you can always return it on Disney, anywhere on Disney property. But don't second guess it. Go ahead and get it. Because, you know, there might not be an opportunity to go back, especially if it's your first race. So.
And sometimes they have, like, at the Disney store at the airport when you're leaving those weekends, they'll have some of the merchandise. But the popular stuff, like anything dopey is going to be gone. The track jackets are usually gone. The Spirit jerseys are usually gone.
The lounge flies, that's a big thing. People love the lounge flies.
Are you a lounge fly person, Jocelyn?
No, I'm not.
All right. Did you join? You joined the trio of us because we are not lounge fly people on this
and,
show.
They're small. I mean, nothing against them. They're small. And then two, if you're like me, after a while running so many races, the shirts are enough because again, you get a shirt for every race. If you're doing the challenge, that's an extra. So in terms of apparel, I just stick with a few of the, you know, other items, coffee mug, because again, my husband's gonna kill me if I bring another coffee mug in the house, but I do anyway.
Oh yeah. Well, I got a question. Like, how is it not feasible to do like a runners only buying, like a website, like hey, congratulations. I feel like Disney would make a lot more money just to do that.
I think it's a supply and demand. As long as it sells out, they don't care who's buying it.
They have started to do some pre-orders for races, right, though.
They used to do more pre-ordering. Also, so they stopped, I don't want to quote me wrong, like around 2017, they used to bring all of the race merchandise to the end of the race weekend. You know, that last race and let people buy because, you know, they have I Did It shirts and sometimes people don't want to buy that until they complete the race. But yeah, they stopped, and so now it's kind of a free fall. Literally, anybody who is in a 50-mile radius can join the virtual queue and go into the expo and buy.
Yeah, and the virtual queue is just like Tron or Guardians of the Galaxy. So it'll give you a return time, and you've got to be there within an hour or whatever. And it's a hot mess.
Yeah,
the whole thing's a hot mess.
It is.
I mean, it's a somewhat organized hot mess, but it's still a hot mess. If you've ever run any other race, they're all that way. So, you know, if you go to Chicago and you go to McCormick Place, you know, where they, like, it's just a bigger hot mess.
It is. It's, I didn't, by the luck of the draw, I just ran Chicago Marathon in 23. I ended up snagging barely my jacket online because, yeah, I was.
And that stuff sells because it's Nike stuff and like people love it. Yeah, it's got a different pull to it. So you've run Chicago and you've run some other races. Is there any other race that you've ever run, not Disney, that you think like is up there in comparison to a Disney race?
Nah, not unless you're doing a world major. No,
but would you even put one like if Chicago's a world major? Would you put it? I don't. I'll give you my opinions. I already wrote it, but I want you to go first.
They're different. It's a different accomplishment to me. And mm-hmm. I don't downplay Disney because it's 26 miles. I know in the running community, sometimes Disney doesn't seem as serious. Oh, but it's a hard 26 miles because I'm stopping for characters and I'm still trying to maintain a good time. So that's
people you know? Boston qualify at Disney. Yeah, like, it's not like it's a slouch of a race. Yeah.
Because it's a relatively flat course. So that's why people mm-hmm. like it. They come down here and they will queue for it. Again, I don't know. Yeah, it's just, I can't compare them, but they're different. I like them. I like a bigger world major versus Disney, but they're well above a lot, most of the other marathons I do because, you know, bigger crowds. So
mm-hmm. See, is there any race you want to do? Sorry.
Again, I want to complete the Six Stars. There are a couple of others that are on my list, but the marathon distance, y'all, I'll be honest with you, I'm getting over it. So that's why I only do one a year, and it's Disney because it's a lot of training, a lot of kudos to people. I ran 4 last year, and that was a lot. So for people who mm-hmm. run them every month and like, hey, they're amazing. But I did 4, and that was – I did 2 this year, and I have one more on the – Yeah.
So when you talk about the stars, you're talking about all 6 world majors. Yeah. For those that aren't aware, how many do you have left?
5. That was my first.
Okay. Oh, so Chicago's cool. Your first one. Okay.
Yeah. I, you know, I'm not. I'm,
you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. It's the getting it. It's just like a Disney race. Those races and lotteries are.
I'm 0-4 on New York now. I've registered, and I also found out that like so they let you. Register, and if you fail a certain number of times, then you get in automatically. But since I used a different email, mine didn't count, even though it's the same name, same date of birth, all that stuff. So I screwed that up. But just to touch on it really quickly, like if you run Chicago or like one of the bigger races, it's not the same as Jocelyn pointed out. It's like nothing close to what Disney is. Disney is a different level, and it's a lot more fun from my perspective. Like running like 3 or 4 mile stretches of the city of Chicago where there is not a soul on the course to me is not that enjoyable. And I've done Chicago twice. It's like going for a run in your local neighborhood. Yeah. There's areas of Chicago, like when you go through Chinatown and you know, stuff like that, that it's fantastic, but none of it compares to running through the parks and doing Disney. Even when you get on some of those back stretches behind like Animal Kingdom, where it's kind of boring, it's not, it's still not as, it's just different. It's just different.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you definitely to check out any run Disney race that you can.
I had to Google what the 6 world majors were. I had no idea what that was.
Oh, Jocelyn, we're going to be rooting for you, girl. And that's going to wrap it up. If you have any comments, questions, don't hesitate to reach out to any of us on social media or via email. I can be found at Adventures of a Disney Dad. Chip, where can people find you?
Robinson Dad Life on Instagram.
Nice. And Jocelyn, where is everybody finding you on social media?
On TikTok and Instagram, Mom Runs This. So,
yeah. Love it, love it. Are you active on Facebook too, or are you just on...
I keep it on the other 2 platforms, you know?
I say just as if, like, Instagram and TikTok's not enough, because it certainly is.
Yeah.
But definitely give Jocelyn a follow and make sure you reach out to her. We'll be posting a lot with her on social media. We're going to be rooting you on, Jocelyn, as you run through all these races. Yeah. And certainly next week with registration coming up, we've got articles on the charities, the registration tips, all that stuff on adventuresofdisneydad.com. If you're interested in having me assist you in planning your next Universal or Disney vacation, please feel free to reach out. All the links to get a free quote are in the show notes. Our services are free to you, and we'd love to help you plan your next dream vacation. If you have a moment, as always, if you could, follow, subscribe, like, review the podcast on whatever platform you prefer. We greatly appreciate the support, and we will see you at your next race, hopefully.
And we'll see you this weekend in Disney.
Oh, that's right. Chip and I'll be there. If you see us in the park, say hello. Anyway.